It's primary day in 8 states today, including California, where there's lots to talk about and plenty at stake. Scott Schaefer will be our guide through it all, and he's the senior editor of the California Politics and Government desk for KQED. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Tanzina.
So give us a rundown. What are the big things happening in California's primary this year?
Well, I guess in terms of offices, we're going to be electing a governor to replace Jerry Brown. We have a U.S. Senate race. But the big thing that's getting all the attention is how we do that. Our elections here are a little bit unusual. We have what's called a top two primary or a jungle primary if you don't happen to like the system. And that's where everybody runs on the same ballot and the top two finishers go on to November. So it's created some really interesting dynamics where you've got sometimes Republicans attacking Republicans or sometimes Democrats attacking each other or both sides attacking Republicans. It's kind of a everyone for himself. And so the outcome is a little unclear, but that's the system that voters adopted. And that's what we're doing.
Now, we also know that California is pretty solidly blue, but it has some significant red patches. Are places like Orange County and the Central Valley still reliably red, or are we seeing any shifts there?
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, there are 7 congressional seats held by Republicans where Hillary Clinton won in November of 2016. And so Democrats are targeting those and a couple of others for pickups. It's tough, though. I mean, Orange County, as you said, is it's much more purple than it was. I mean, Hillary Clinton did win the county, and that was the first time since 1936 that a Democrat, it was FDR back then, carried Orange County. But, you know, in a primary election, a midterm election, especially when there's no presidential candidate on the ballot, the turnout is lower. And so the electorate is a little more skewed toward white voters, older voters, and that tends to help Republicans. So in cases where, let's say, Antonio Villaraigosa, who's running for governor, for him to do well in the election, he's going to have to get a really high turnout of Latinos. And there's not really a lot of evidence right now that that's happening.
And a new poll out last week showed that there are more registered independents than Republicans in California. What impact do you think that's going to have on the state?
Yeah, you know, this has been part of a trend that we've been seeing now for, 24 years, since going all the way back to 1994. That's when there was an anti-immigrant ballot measure on the statewide ballot, and it passed, although much of it was invalidated by the courts. But ever since then, Latinos have, A, gotten more engaged in politics, and B, been registering in big numbers as Democrats. And so we've been seeing that trend of Republicans, the Republican share of the electorate going down, and finally the lines have crossed. So now, just last week, the Secretary of State sent out the latest registration figures, and the nonpartisan voters, no party preference or independent, you might call them, voters, have slightly increased beyond the number of Republican voters. So it's, you know, immediately the Democratic Party said, oh, the Republican Party is now a third party in California. It's not quite that simple, especially at the local level, because as I said, you know, earlier, in primaries, Republicans do tend to outperform their numbers of the electorate. So in other words, they're more likely to vote. And so even though they're 25% of the overall number of registered voters, they could be 35 to 40% of those who vote.
And California also has one of the strongest economies in the world as a state.
It does. I mean, it's incredible. Just a couple of weeks ago, data came out that showed that California had just passed the United Kingdom to be the 5th largest economy in the world if we were our own country, which many people in California think we are or would like us to be.
I was going to say, are people wanting you to be that?
Well, it's funny because actually on the November ballot, it looks like there's going to be a ballot measure to split the state into 3 states. That's a whole other conversation. But yeah, no, the high-tech industry has been really booming, entertainment industry, agriculture. Now, there is concern on the horizon about things like tariffs, you know, concern that it could affect some of the products, agricultural products, for example, made here in California. But yeah, the economy is doing really well. California has generated a very large proportion of all the new jobs created in the past 5 to 7 years. So, you know, it's kind of the best of times and the worst of times because there's also a very high rate of poverty in California. And some of the candidates have been speaking to that issue as well.
So, Scott, the sanctuary state laws seem to be a big factor for Republican candidates. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this year, a new state law took effect. Some are calling it the sanctuary state law, and it protects some undocumented immigrants from being deported. It puts limits on local law enforcement officials in terms of how and when they can cooperate with federal immigration. And there are some parts in California, some of the more conservative counties like Orange County, parts of the inland parts of California, Northern California, the rural parts have said, hey, we don't support that law. And there has been kind of an insurrection, sort of a resistance to the resistance in a way, these local governments saying that they want to join the Trump administration's lawsuit against California because they don't like the sanctuary law either. And so we've seen President Trump and Vice President Pence and the Attorney General Jeff Sessions all coming out to California to talk about this in hopes of spurring Republicans to get to the ballot. Now, the problem for Republicans is that might work, you know, on election day. It might work, you know, in these little districts, but it is not a good message statewide. So if you're John Cox, who's the Republican running for governor, if you have to pivot in November to a more moderate position, you've already, you know, tied your fortunes to Donald Trump. And that is not a good thing to do statewide in California.
So, Scott, tell us about the congressional races.
So there are 7 to 10 congressional seats in California held by Republicans that the Democrats are targeting because Hillary Clinton carried those districts in 2016. Two of the most vulnerable were down in Southern California, Daryl Issa in San Diego and Ed Royce in Orange County. And a lot of Democrats had filed to run against them because they did seem so vulnerable. And then what happened? They decided they were going to retire. So you've got this primary, this top two primary system where the top two finishers go on to November. And you have, like, in some cases, 4, 5, 6 Democrats splitting the vote, and there's maybe 2, maybe 3 Republicans who are better known. And so the concern the Democrats now have is that they might squander this opportunity to pick up 1 or 2 seats in those two districts because Democrats could be shut out of the top two. Now, we'll see whether or not that happens. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee has weighed in with some ads trying to help those Democrats get to the top two. But if, you know, when the dust settles, those two seats have 2 Republicans running in November, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing in California.
Scott Schaefer is the senior editor of the California Politics and Government Desk for KQED. Scott, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.